We're done paying the bills. Now back to Sports Call on Tiger 95.9.
Welcome back into the Abbey Award-winning Sports Talk Show. You're listening to Sports Call on WTGZ, Tiger 95.9 FM, and on the Tiger Communications app. JJ Jackson inside the studio today with Ryan Lavoy, Austin Scott, and Brooks Childress, getting you set for Smith Station basketball a little bit later tonight versus Opelika. This is going to be our final segment of today's show. And then the one and only Javon Cutler and Brant Daughtry will bring you Smith Station basketball tonight versus the Opelika Bulldogs. So with it being our final few moments on today's show, we've got to bring in a very good friend from the Auburn Observer, Justin Ferguson, kind enough to join us here on today's program. Hello there, Ferg.
What's up, y'all?
We're doing very well. We hope that you are as well. I know a lot of people are talking about football. Let's begin talking a little basketball with you. As 1 week ago, we were getting ready for the first game of the season for the Auburn Tigers. They've played two now. How did you think the first week went for Auburn on the basketball court?
I thought it was a pretty good week for Auburn, all told. I mean, you saw them improve on some things that were kind of bugging them during preseason, most specifically, defense and the effort early on, getting off to good starts. And they really did that against Morehead State. Excellent defense early, played with a ton of energy early on. And then finish out the game, kind of push through some fatigue and finish it off. And then in the second game, not a great start, but was able to rally back from that. So early on, we've seen this Auburn team kind of fight back from starting hot and kind of cooling off, and then we've seen them kind of fight back from getting from getting down. So I mean, that's kind of what you want to see early on from a team like that.
Ferg, you said it really early on, but what are you hoping to see, or what do you think this team needs after just two games? Is it Jabari Smith to just be the alpha, or is it Wendell Green to be the point guard that Auburn's gotten production out of the past? Or what do you see them needing down the stretch just from the lineups they've been tossing out there so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think this team just needs to continue to get better at learning how to play offense with one another. This team's at its best when it's running. This team's at its best when it's kind of playing, for lack of a better phrase, kind of pick-up basketball. And what I mean by that is that, you know, they are at their best when they are not having to kind of run a set in the half court and kind of get to work that way. And so that's just going to come with time. That's going to come with, like, learning each other. And so I just think it's just patience is kind of the thing, and just kind of snapping in and realizing, you know, what the best groove for this offense is going to be. You know, I've heard it described early on in the season as kind of like a taking turns kind of offense, where it's like, all right, now it's my turn to have the ball, and now we'll get the ball to him on this possession. Whereas a really good offense and a really good balanced offense isn't like that. So I think they just got to get aware with playing with one another. I think defensively this team's got what you want. We'll see how it does when it steps up in competition. But really, really like what they've got going on, on that end of the floor. Just our offense, just learn how to play with one another, and then when Allen Flanagan comes back in, kind of keep it going.
How big of a test could Friday be at South Florida for the Auburn men's basketball team?
Well, it's their first road game. It's an adjustment, that you haven't had to deal with in the first, stretch of the season. So, the South Florida team is a team that is not traditionally very strong, not a team that makes the NCAA tournament very often, but it's a team that's got some pretty good athletes. As a coach, has been there for a little while. So I feel like it's going to be kind of like how they play against Morehead. It's like a team that if they can kind of get you, if they can start clicking, they'll know what they're doing. And they've got some athletes that can, challenge things on both ends of the floor. But I think the big thing is for Auburn is just play clean basketball and get off to a good start, kind of eliminate some of the weirdness that comes with playing together on the road for the first time, and they should be fine and, have another good double-digit win in the back.
Auburn football, a tough loss on Saturday versus Mississippi State as they're able to come back from the 25-point deficit and defeat the Tigers at home. Some season-ending injuries for Auburn football. What was the kind of one thing that you look back, and obviously the film room is something that I encourage people to always check out each week from Justin Ferguson at the Auburn Observer. When you go back and look at that, like, what just stands out to you? Like, man, I can't believe this happened.
I can't believe Auburn didn't adjust their defense as much as they probably should have against the air raid. Early on, they played really, really well. And you know, Mississippi State didn't really do much different, as the game went on. It's just they just started executing a lot better, and Auburn never really countered with it. It was, you know, off-man coverage and the zone, you play back. You do it for a reason, right? You do it because you want to keep everything in front of you. But Auburn was not getting the benefit of playing back. There would be too many times where guys would catch the ball and there would be nobody around them, or, you know, they wouldn't be guarding the sticks. They wouldn't be guarding the end zone. And that really starts to kind of pile up on you. And one of the other things is they didn't blitz a ton. They didn't rush more than three a lot of the time. More than half the time, they just rushed three. Wasn't really good when they rushed three. When they rushed four outside of the red zone, they had pretty decent success. And they found some different ways of scheming up. It just didn't happen quite as frequently. So, you know, Auburn was kind of stuck in a spot where, you know, they weren't getting the benefits of dropping eight in coverage. And they weren't getting any of, you know, the pass rushing success that you need if you're not going to be, if you're not going to be playing really, really well on the back end. Like, that was a quarterback that was on fire, and he just kept going. And Auburn didn't really do enough to affect him. So it was just so surprising to me because I thought – heading into this game, Auburn's pass defense, not perfect, but it had done a really good job this season, and it adjusted and had done a good job of keeping them out of the end zone. And Will Rogers just walked in there and picked them apart. And it didn't seem they had an answer or a counterpunch at all, which is very interesting because that is not what we know a Derek Mason defense to do.
As we're talking with Justin Ferguson here from the Auburn Observer, Auburn football, as we said, lost quarterback Bo Nix. He's going to be done for the year. He's had a successful surgery on his foot. As we begin to turn the page to the South Carolina and Alabama game, it looks like TJ Finley is going to be the quarterback. What will that look like for Auburn, if you had to guess?
Yeah, I think they can do a lot of the similar stuff they did with Bo. You just don't run him quite as much, as you may with Bo Nix. Bo Nix is more of a guy who can escape a little bit better, pressure, scramble, or he's just a faster player on his feet. So for Finley, he's a guy that is not necessarily the quick strike type of quarterback. He's kind of a rhythm thrower, but also one that, you know, if you give him time to kind of sit and survey the field and throw it, he's got a really good arm, can hit. He was a really good intermediate passer last year, which is something I'm sure Auburn will lean on moving forward. He can stretch the field with his deep ball. He's got a very powerful arm. But, you know, it's going to be kind of tough because, you know, Auburn has not been able to run the ball very effectively this season on a consistent basis. And I think you need to run the ball next to Finley because he is not a guy that necessarily is the dude you want to throw the ball 40 or 50 times a game with and expect to win. That doesn't take anything away from him. I think that just doesn't fit his skill set and fit what they have to do in this offense. And if he is not as good of a runner as Nix, give him a good running game next to him to kind of protect him. So I would expect Auburn to try to get something going on the ground game, using some of that play action, maybe take some shots downfield. And then when, you know, you're in some situations where you need to get a chunk of yards downfield, he's got the arm to do it, and he's got good touch and good accuracy on those balls. He's got to give him enough protection.
$6 a month or $60 a year to be a part of the Auburn Observer community. Kind of lay out the rest of the week for us, Ferg. What's your coverage look like?
Yeah, so tomorrow it's going to be a little light because Auburn pushed back their media availability from today to all the players are going to be talking tomorrow. So no newsletter tomorrow, but on Thursday you will get both a newsletter and a podcast where we will talk the Auburn-South Carolina game, and we will preview the Auburn-South Florida basketball game. So football and basketball, both previews on Thursday, mailbag on Friday. We'll have observations from the South Florida game on Saturday morning. We will have observations from the South Carolina game on Sunday. Weekend recap podcast covering it all. So a lot of good stuff at auburnobserver.com. You can sign up there.
And you're on Twitter at JFergusonAU, which, by the way, I saw you hop on a concert trend, I believe it was, on Twitter yesterday. To no one's surprise, and you in particular, I did not recognize many of the bands that you highlighted.
I would be surprised if you recognized any of them.
Did you recognize any of them?
The Me Without You, I've definitely seen that before, the way it was spelled. I was like, Reliant K, I've heard okay. of, you know,
heard
but
of. Oh my.
I don't know that I would be able to tell you what songs they've seen.
MDMT?
I'd heard of it, you know, but wouldn't know.
MGMT would be more of kind of what music that plays on y'all station. So I would imagine you'd at least get it by osmosis at some point.
I'm sure I have. I just probably didn't like process, oh, this is what this is. But you said that it didn't seem like they wanted to be at that concert.
No, I don't think I've ever talked to anybody who's been to an MGMT show and said, oh, yeah, they were really energetic and they wanted to be there.
That's so strange.
They've got a rep. Well, they're an interesting group because, you know, they came out and their first album had, like, several just massive hits. And they you know, kind of built up a rep for themselves. And then you could tell from the rest of their albums after that, they're just like, they didn't even really want to do that style anymore. And it's kind of like maybe they were... the record label kind of forced that on them, and ever since then they've done some good stuff, and it's been kind of experimental and weird, but like, yeah, much more fitting for just, hey, we're going to go into our studio and record than necessarily this is a good live act.
What in the world is this most surprising band that you said here?
Which one did I say was most surprising?
Like, do you spell it? Is that how you say it? TWI?
It's an abbreviation. Yeah. Okay, so that band is called The World Is a Beautiful Place and I'm No Longer Afraid to Die. They are a really big band.
That's the band's name for it?
Yes. They are a really large band, emo band from Connecticut. I saw them open for Me Without You one time. I barely knew who they were. They had a phenomenal opening performance, and I left there. But Me Without You is my favorite band of all time, and I left that concert thinking that the other band was, you know, had the best performance that night. So, and I've been a pretty big fan of theirs for a while, and they had a new album come out last month that I've really, really enjoyed. So, yeah, that's the one where I just remember being like, whoa, I just, like, discovered this whole new thing. So that was a big one for me.
All right, let me try to. The World Is a Beautiful Place, and I'm No Longer Afraid to Die.
Yes.
Got it.
You got it.
Wow. If we played any of that music in our system, Ferg, I'm trying to figure out how we would document that. We probably would have to go with the abbreviations, too,
probably,
based on characters.
Probably, and also, I mean, that their kind of vibe would kind of fit with the
Tiger programming. Kind of, okay.
Yeah, for sure. So they're not a band that I know has had a lot of radio play in the past, but definitely would fit the vibe of what you guys got over there.
Well, Javon Cutler is set to do some play-by-play with Brant Daughtry as well from a Smith Station basketball game. That's why he's not here to hang out with us, but I'll send
only
along.
Only acceptable
good
reason.
Okay, and let's say after Thanksgiving, would that be possible to get you back here in studio to hang out with us, or are we still not seeing eye to eye on things?
we'll see what we can do after football season ends. How about that?
Okay, TBD. I'll take
it. When life calms down a little bit more, when my Tuesdays get a little less crazy.
I love it. All right, Ferg, be well. Thanks for the time today.
Yeah, y'all too.